Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus then gave to them the Lord's Prayer, and he promised, "If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is our text. Lord, teach us to pray. Such a strange request, isn't it? I mean, what's there to teach? Isn't prayer a universal religious practice? It doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, or when we live, human beings seem to have an impulse to pray. It's as if God made us to have communion with him, to speak to him, as if he hardwired us in some way to know that he exists and that we ought to be in communication with him. Even the atheist, the one who vehemently denies that there's a God, when he's in need, what does he do? He prays. There are no atheists in foxholes. When bombs drop, prayers rise, like a spiritual law of nature. Lord, teach us to pray. But what's there to teach? Prayer isn't complicated. It's not like rocket science or neurosurgery. It doesn't require years of study or special training. Speaking to God in thoughts and words can be done anytime, anywhere, by anyone, about anything. No assembly required. Even a four-year-old at a dining room table can pray, and so can a busy mom running her kids around, or a hairdresser in between clients, or a 96-year-old confined to her home. Lord, teach us to pray. And what makes this request even more surprising is that the disciples of Jesus ask him for it. They weren't strangers to prayer. These disciples had been praying at home. They'd been praying in the synagogue since they were knee-high to a grasshopper. They knew all the heart prayers by heart. They prayed morning. They prayed evening. They prayed before meals. Long before they saw Jesus praying in a certain place, prayer was already a major part of their lives. So what do they need to learn about prayer? Don't they already know everything about it? The last thing we expect is for someone, especially a disciple, to ask for help with praying. But that's exactly what he does. This disciple, when he sees Jesus praying, he says, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John taught his disciples. Now, I want you to think for a minute about what it means for this disciple to say, "Teach us to pray." I'd like to suggest to you that it takes a lot of guts for him to say those words, because that's a confession. It's a confession that they haven't prayed, at least not as often and not as well as they should. It's a confession that they don't really know what they're doing when they pray. It's a confession that they're not prayer warriors, but they are prayer failures. Their own efforts fall short, and so do ours. We know that we should pray. We may even want to pray more regularly and more fervently, but we don't. We forget. We're easily distracted. We don't know what to say. We fumble over our words. We bargain and negotiate with God. We confuse our own desires and wishes with prayer. We have our doubts. We feel empty and dry. And the harder we try, the worse it becomes. Lord, teach us to pray is a confession that our prayer life is in shambles. It's a wreck, and we need help. We need Jesus. Now, in theory, prayer should be easy and natural, but in practice, it's often the exact opposite. There are so many missed opportunities. If you think about your life, or I think about my life, I find that my days have so many opportunities for prayer, and yet so little prayer in them. instead of praying for others and for ourselves, we worry, we complain, we harbor grudges, we become angry, we place blame, we make excuses. All of that when we could pray. And even when we do pray, our sinful nature has a way of turning that prayer into sin. We think that we're successful at prayer. We become proud. We think more highly of ourselves and of our prayers than we should, as if we finally, with this prayer, I have something that I can show to God, something I can give to Him, something that is worth boasting about before others. Our sinful nature knows how to ruin everything, even our prayers. And think about us by nature, turned in on ourselves, coiled in. What do we pray for? We only know how to pray out of the poverty of our own hearts, out of the own poorness of who we are and what we have and want. And so if you're like me, then your prayers, like mine, can often become a frustration. Prayer can often be filled with guilt. Our worship and our prayers have faltered. They are not what they should be. To pray may appear easy and natural, but to pray rightly is not. That must be learned. For that, we need someone to teach us, and we need the school of experience to give us practice. Lord, teach us to pray. And where else can we turn except to Jesus, not with our great success in prayer, but with our failures? Lord, teach us to pray. He's the expert in prayer. He's the teacher of God's people. And He doesn't leave us to pray by ourselves. He doesn't leave us to pray from our own sinful hearts. No, Jesus prays, and He draws us into His prayer. In fact, in the pages of Luke's gospel, there's almost not a page you can find where Jesus is not praying somewhere about something to His Father in heaven. And so it is here. Lord, teach us to pray. And He does. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. A shortened version of the Lord's Prayer. You see, Jesus, when He's asked to teach us how to pray, He doesn't create a manual or an instruction book on prayer. He doesn't launch into an hour-long lecture. He doesn't give 7 steps to a better prayer life. He doesn't give a motivational talk on prayer. He teaches us to pray by giving us 2 things. First of all, He gives us His Father in heaven. He says, I have a Father in heaven, and I'd like you to have Him as well. Here's my Father. Now He is your Father. He is our Father. And second, He gives us His prayer, the Lord's Prayer. He puts the very words into your mouth. Lord, teach us to pray. I'll make it simple. Pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven. He gives us His prayer with the very words that we can use. And when we think about prayer as this gift from Jesus, we see this, I'd say, most clearly when we have baptisms, just as we saw it again today with J.C. Anna and Giuliani. As we all pray together, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, I place my hands on their heads. Jesus personally is giving this prayer to them. He's making this prayer theirs, just as He has made this prayer yours. Through Jesus, you have a Father in heaven who loves to hear your prayers and who loves to answer you. The Lord's Prayer is yours to enjoy. It is yours to treasure. It is yours to use. It is yours to pray. And you have the promise that the Father hears you in the very same way that He hears Jesus. Lord, teach us to pray. And so He does. In fact, our Lord took all of our failures in prayer on Himself, and He carried those failures right to the cross. And our Lord died on the cross to give us this privilege of praying like Him, like sons of the Father. Our Lord died that He might pay the price for our adoption into God's family. He redeemed us by his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death so that we could have access to the heavenly throne room and bring our prayers right before God himself. This is the beauty and the joy and the gift of prayer, that our prayers do not depend on us. They depend on him. Prayer comes as a gift, and our prayers are signed, sealed, and delivered by the blood of Jesus. So when it comes to praying, remember this: you're never alone and you are never on your own. You're always praying with Jesus. You're always learning to pray from his cross. You are always learning to pray as a baptized and redeemed child of God, not out of the poverty of your heart, but out of the treasures of what Christ has won for us. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus has more to give. He says, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for another friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Don't bother me, the door is shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." In other words, Jesus is teaching us to pray by sending needy people to us, by sending people who have requests and prayers. Ironically, in this little parable, Jesus compares God the Father with a grumpy next-door neighbor. Like the person in this parable, we're often confronted with the needs of friends and acquaintances. We have people who come to us and ask us for things, physical things and spiritual things, and simply lay their load on us. And what do we have to give them? What help can we be to the person who is sick with cancer? What help can we be to the friend whose brother has died? What help can we be to the man who just lost his job? What can we do for those whose needs are brought to us day after day and Sunday after Sunday? Like the person in the parable, when the friend comes to me with their needs, I look at myself and I have nothing to set before them. But we do have one thing. We have access to a friend next door. We have access to God the Father. We have access to the one who has everything. So we go to him. Do you see how it works? When someone comes to you with a need and you have nothing to give them, you have everything to give because you have the Father in heaven to pray to. And so the needs of others drive us to pray. When your heart is burdened and weighed down by the things that you hear or the needs that you see, that is an invitation for you to pray again. Like Abraham, who, when he heard about the condemnation of Sodom and Gomorrah, interceded for those wicked cities. And through his prayer, his nephew Lot and Lot's family were saved. And yet there is a difference between our Father in heaven and this little parable. Unlike the friend in the parable, God the Father never sleeps. He may seem slow to answer our prayers, but he never ignores them. He wants us to pray, he wants us to ask, and we don't have to pester him or shame him into responding. In other words, our Father in heaven is no grump. He is our Father in heaven, and he loves us as his own dear children. And still there's more to give. Lord, teach us to pray, and Jesus says, "I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, the Heavenly Father is always more ready to give than we are to receive. And while it's true that prayer isn't a blank check to fill out as we please, prayer does come with a promise. It comes with the promise of good gifts from the Father. In fact, we often ask for far less than he desires to give. Too often we limit our prayers. We limit them by making them only about earthly things, temporal blessings, things about this life, when he stands ready to pour out on us and on our neighbors his heavenly blessings. I think that's why the Lord's Prayer begins with asking for God's name to be kept holy among us, and for his kingdom to come to us, and for his will to be done among us. The first things we ask for, the first things that Jesus teaches us to pray for, are these spiritual gifts: God's name, and his kingdom, and his will. Our Father in heaven is far more generous than earthly fathers. Many earthly fathers do give good things to their children, and they take care of their children reasonably well. But our Heavenly Father does that much more. And in the face of our failure to pray, in the face of our inability to pray as we would like, in the face of the condemnation that we feel about not praying more or better, Jesus promises that the Father in heaven will send us the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is an answer to our need in prayer. The Holy Spirit helps us to pray. The Holy Spirit prompts and empowers us. The Holy Spirit makes our prayers holy and pleasing in God's sight. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And so today we join those disciples of Jesus, and we say to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And through his cross, Jesus gives us his prayer. He gives us his heavenly Father. He gives us the Holy Spirit, so that when we pray, we don't pray alone, and we don't pray by our own power. But Jesus carries us along in our prayers, and the Holy Spirit brings us with Jesus to God our Father. And best of all, Jesus is always praying for us, always interceding on our behalf. Jesus stands before the Father's throne, and he says, Father, forgive them. Father, hear them. And by his blood, we are forgiven, and our prayers are heard. Amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.